DW, Africa Link. Some Mozambicans who have shown remarkable courage are now expressing their desire to return home after fleeing to neighboring Malawi. The unrest in Mozambique, marked by political disputes and local clashes after elections in October last year, has created an environment of instability. Rights groups estimate that more than 300 people died from the unrest, and thousands were forced to cross the border in search of refuge in Malawi. Now, both governments have launched a joint repatriation effort to return more than 7,000 Mozambican refugees to their communities. But how safe is it for them to return? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Repatriation efforts are underway, with both Malawi and Mozambique facilitating the process. As of recent reports, about 7,456 people have been registered for repatriation voluntarily. Now, there are ongoing efforts to register more. For more on this, let me bring in our correspondent George Mango in Blantyre, Malawi. Also joining me is Moses Mukandawire, a human rights activist on asylum and refugees and founder of NICA Institute. That's a think tank organization focused on governance and peace. George, let's take a step back for a bit. Tell us more about how so many people from Mozambique ended up in Malawi.
These people from Mozambique are found in Malawi because of the post-election violence. As you know, that Mozambicans went to the polls in October last year to elect the ex-president to succeed Filipe Nyusi. So there was some kind of dissatisfaction between both the government side and then the opposition, mainly the opposition. So they went into the streets demonstrating, and that pushed some of the Mozambican citizens to neighboring countries. And Malawi is a neighboring country to Mozambique. And that is why these people from Mozambique, more especially close to the Malawi border, say in Sanje, Nchewu, Mulanje, most of these people from Mozambique did run to these districts to seek refuge. And that is why we're talking about these Mozambican refugees being found in Malawi. Suffice to say that in an area known as Nsanje District, the Tip District, which borders Malawi and Mozambique on the southern part of it, is the one that is, you know, accommodating most of these refugees or asylum seekers. And in addition to that, the opposition leader came back before the swearing ceremony in Mozambique, and then he put down the situation. But still more, some of those people that fled coming to Malawi have been staying in camps and have been accommodated in various houses by sympathizers here in Malawi. We're talking about a number of about maybe 7,000 of them, you know, being accommodated in Malawi. So those are some of the issues that, you know, forced these people to flee their country, to come to Malawi seeking refuge. Mindful of the fact that this is not also the first time that Malawians are accommodating people from Mozambique, dating back maybe to the days of the Civil War. Malawi used also to, you know, accommodate them, you know, keep them in camps, right? Because the only camp that we're talking now is Zalega, but we also have one in Mwanza District. So that's what I can say at the moment, yes.
Right, thank you for that. I mean, there's a long history between Malawi and Mozambique, as you rightly said. This time, it's not like things are easy in Malawi, right? Considering that Malawi is struggling to provide food for millions of its own people, how have the Mozambican refugees been coping when it comes to food and shelter?
In terms of a food and shelter provision to these refugees, there has been World Food Program, which has been very full-throttle in collaboration with the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, just like the Malawi government, through the Department of Disaster Management Affairs, DODIMA. They have been working together to ensure that these people are fed. And even organizations like UNICEF have also been instrumental in providing basic necessities to kids, more especially children. As you know, that UNICEF tackles issues with children. Water aid has also been full throttle on the ground to provide water. That is why 2 weeks ago, World Bank provided $35 million for Malawi to procure maize from Tanzania through World Food Program, so that part of those kind of funds should be channeled towards these refugees in Nsanje from Mozambique, so that at least, you know, they have something to eat. Okay. Yes, so that's how life has been like since they came. Of course, some challenges are there, fearing of waterborne diseases, that this is the rainy season.
Okay, fair enough. So overall, they've been well received, well fed, and well accommodated so far inside Malawi, is basically what you're saying. Well, that's good to know. Now, to the focus of all of this, we know there's a repatriation process going on. How's it going so far? Is there a deadline? Is it voluntary? Tell us more.
In terms of the repatriation process, the registration is currently underway, and this registration process for the repatriation is not by force. And that is what the Mozambican Embassy, jointly with the Department of Refugees here in Malawi, in the Ministry of Homeland and Security, are emphasizing on. But Sirumor, what they want is that each and every Mozambican who fled their country should go back, because there is a provision of security, food and shelter for the next 3 months for them that will be able to go back voluntarily.
Now, let me come to you, Moses, talking about the role that you have played. You've been championing the repatriation of Mozambican refugees in conjunction with other bodies in the SADC region. Are you satisfied with the timing and how it's going so far?
Yeah, number one is that let me appreciate this kind of engagement. Number two is really to reflect on what we've been doing as NGOs within the SADC region. Before repatriation, I would want to say that what we wanted at first was to constructively engage the leadership of Mozambique through the former President Nyusi, but also the new president. At that time, I think was President Designate, as well as the leader of opposition. That's what we had wanted. And we also engaged the former presidents, Malawi, Tanzania, South Africa, as well as Botswana. And the process, you know, went on quite well. Unfortunately, some of our main objectives were not met, but it doesn't matter. The most important thing, what we wanted, basically, is to ensure that we have peace in Mozambique. So coming back to the issue of repatriation, yes, given the experiences that we have had so far in the 1990s, as you rightly indicated, that Malawi has, it's not first time for them to host our brothers and sisters from Mozambique. We did that in the 90s, up until 1995, so when we repatriated a good number of Mozambicans. So yes, repatriation is very important so that these people get reintegrated in their communities, given the fact that this is a rainy season, and it would have been extremely important that as they go back, basically some of them can concentrate in their gardens, because the moment they stay longer in Malawi, it means the problems might not be addressed in the immediate future, given the fact that they will not have, you know, much food for their families. So that's right. One. And number two is that, is it timely? It's a little bit of a challenge, given the fact that we're not 100% sure that really peace has been brought back in Mozambique. Because for them to run away for their lives is based on what my colleague Mwangu has said, is the violence that ensued after the elections. It was very bad, given the fact that many people lost their property. You know, many people got displaced, and that's why we have refugees, not only in Malawi, Mozambique, in Zimbabwe, Eswatini, and other places. And then we also saw that a lot more people lost their lives. And because of that, that's why we are very much concerned that we need to bring peace into Mozambique. I think that's right. Very fundamental. But let me finally appreciate the government of Malawi, you know, for hosting our colleagues in Mozambique, but also providing the much needed, you know, support, as well as the government of Mozambique for really, you know, being there for their citizens. I think this is great and they ought to be appreciated.
Right. I mean, you raised some key points about the other side, Mozambican refugees in Malawi want to return home to Mozambique. But, you know, what's the plan there? Is the country really ready to take people back?
We have been assured, basically, from the government side, that they have tried their best to ensure that there is maximum security in a number of places. Here we're talking about most of the provinces that got affected, particularly for the refugees that are in Malawi. They are coming from Zambezia province as well as Tete province. We are told that at least there's some relative peace, not 100% as it were, but at least the government has tried to ensure that these people are protected and that nobody basically should be chasing them, you know, or threatening them as it were, because security, both internal security but also external security, is guaranteed. But I think what we need to do also as civil society organizations is maybe to have a fact-finding mission so that we're able to relate the message and the commitment that has been made by the government of Mozambique and then see whether indeed those kind of commitments are there for these people.
Right, because, you know, from the way I get it, it's not the most conducive situation. Much better, of course, in Mozambique, you know, compared to, you know, a few months ago, but it's still not the most conducive from what I hear from you. So why are people being sent back now? Why not send them back when we can totally guarantee that life will return to normalcy for them when they are back there?
Yeah, you know, that's what I've already alluded to, that the government of Mozambique, whose mandate is to ensure the security and safety of its own citizens, has committed itself to ensuring that those individuals, you know, those citizens are, you know, are back in their communities. So based on that kind of message that has been coming through, especially for the month of February, and we're into March now, and it has been the same message, so there are some people who are saying, hey, there is some relative peace in Mozambique. I think it's important that these people have to go back.
Right. Fair enough. Also, we're hearing that some of the refugees are not willing to go back. We know that this is voluntary, of course. But what are the reasons that you know they are giving for not wanting to go back? And is it really dependent on them throughout? Or is it likely to change at some point that people will have no choice but to go back?
You know, as my colleague alluded to, that this repatriation is purely voluntary, as it were. Nobody is being forced 100% that they have to. But then we should also understand the reasons that actually made these citizens to move out of Mozambique. I think one of the key areas is the violence, you know, and is the loss of the property, is the loss of their relatives and friends, you know, that they saw in with their naked eyes that actually forced them to move out in order to seek places where they can be assured that they are safe, you know, and secure. So honestly, unless somebody goes there and indeed, you know, assures them that there is relative peace back home. But others, I think up until now, they are not yet convinced. And those are the ones that are providing some kind of resistance, if you like, you know, that they wouldn't really go unless they are really and 100% assured that they can go back, honestly.
Right, which is fair enough. George, let me come to you on this, based on that particular point. Yes, again, it's voluntary as things stand. Some are okay going, some do not want to go. You've been on the ground. Can you give us an indication of those that are willing to go and those that want to remain?
Yes, yeah, the indication is just very straightforward. Those that are not willing to go, they are saying that they have had their houses demolished, their cattle, you know, taken away, their maize fields, you know, left in that disarray state. So there is no that goodwill on their part to go back home because they have nothing and they have no house where they can, I mean, sleep or stay in. They will not even have food to eat, you know, at the end of the day. Those are some of the fears. And you know what? Psychologically, they say they are affected. They feel like the same violence also be haunting them day in, day out. And they are also afraid because they are saying that this is not the first time for them to be chased or to free Mozambique coming to Malawi, as we have highlighted the fact that each time that Mozambicans go to the polls, there is violence.
Right.
You see? So that's the main issue. But for those that are willing to go back voluntarily, as they are doing the registration currently, they have some things to show off, you see? So it's one having nothing to show off, others having something to show off, and something that maybe is bringing some kind of this debate to say, why is it that others are not waiting, others are waiting to go?
Right. Are we talking about, in terms of, you know, the more women, children, men, which ones are more likely to stay?
In this particular case, men are willing to stay in Malawi, having suffered the terrible instances, because, you know, some of them were telling me stories that they could not even manage crossing Zambezi River by boat, you see, where crocodiles, hippos are there, you see, with their children in their back, some of them braving the rainy season on a canoe to come to Malawi. So they say they cannot even afford to go back again, but they better stay here in Malawi, and maybe at some point in time, you know, just talk to the chiefs right where they are, so that maybe they can be given land. Why women are interested to going back? You know, land is very precious for them. They say they cannot afford to lose land just anyhow, but they better go back and then see how they can, you know, manage their farms, you know, how they can till their land, how they can be able to raise some of the children that were left behind. So those are the issues that are raised for the women and then for the men.
Okay. So many women are taking their children along because they just feel they want to go back home, whereas most men, according to you, want to remain until they feel ready enough to go back to life and living it back there. Interesting. Moses, I mean, we've talked a lot about the situation on the ground, and you know, you said that many in government in Mozambique are calling for people to return. Yet some are skeptical, obviously, as we've sort of summarized in this interaction. Tell us more about what needs to be done now to really ensure that those that are going back will not regret that move.
What we need to do is to embark on massive campaign for awareness to ensure that peace is very important. Let's embrace between and amongst ourselves the diversity of the actions that we take as a people, because honestly, elections in this case should not really, you know, be a tool where people should be able to lose their lives, lose their property, and get displaced internally as well as externally. I think this is not on. Number two is that as government of Mozambique is, you know, inviting citizens to go back into Mozambique, I think it's extremely important to consider a lot of programs around integration, counseling, you know, services are very important given the period and the environment that these individuals have gone through after losing their relatives, friends, as well as property. And I think it's also important that we need to compensate, you know, them by, among other things, you know, putting in place a program around housing, because as my friend alluded to, there are some that not have any place where they can sleep. And I think it's extremely important that we embark on those kind of initiatives. I know it's extremely expensive on the part of governments, but there's nothing we can do about it because these people did not decide on their own, you know, to experience what they went through. So these are some of the initiatives. At the same time, then, it's important to call upon the donor community amidst the challenges that are there now with the new policies and actions that are taking place globally. But I think it's extremely important to consider our colleagues, you know, that have suffered so much. Consider children that have missed, you know, their access to education, given the fact that elsewhere, you know, children are going to school, but these children have suffered greatly. You know, they've missed classes, you know, teachers have been displaced, they can no longer go back to teach. And we need, therefore, to put in place such kind of programs that can make these people really come to normalcy in terms of their lives, but also accessing those kind of facilities that were destroyed due to the virus.
Quickly on this, Moses, before I let you go, what do we know about the timeline with the other Mozambican refugees in Malawi who do not want to go yet? Is there a timeline? How long can they stay in Malawi for? Or, you know, is there going to be a time where they say, okay, well, now it's time for you guys to go? What do we know about that?
I would want to be very honest. I think we haven't really gone much into that. But I think it's an area that we can consider in terms of engaging them as to when they would want to go back, as the others have already shown that kind of interest for them to go back. But at the same time, we should also be very careful that we should not be seen to be imposing, you know, like forcing them to go when they are happy, you know, to be in Malawi. So we need to do a lot of, you know, of engagement between and amongst the different stakeholders, be it government, both Malawi and Mozambique, as well as the civil society leaders, including, you know, including religious leaders, where they are the ones that are providing the counseling and so on and so forth. So in terms of timing, I might be wrong at this time, up until we are to engage these stakeholders.
Thank you very much, Moses. And George, are Malawians happy to keep having refugees from Mozambique in their country, and for how long?
At the moment, what is coming out clear is the fact that, you know, Malawi and Mozambique are neighbors, and they live a life of like a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a son, son-in-law, daughter-in-law. So they are happy with it. But where it comes to issues of provision of, say, food, the necessary things like maybe educational facilities, that is where maybe the challenge could be, because you know what, here in Malawi, we don't learn Portuguese. Mozambicans do learn Portuguese. So that could be the challenge, because it means we'll be sidelining our counterparts from Mozambique, and that's the general feeling. But with the regional integration thing, which is being championed by the SADC bloc, it's very 50-50, 100% correct. Malawians, Mozambicans are very happy with it. At the same time, what is also very clear or coming out clearly is the fact that whatsoever food is provided to Malawians should also be going to the counterparts of the Mozambicans. And that is why currently the Minister of Homeland Security, just like the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, is advocating for a provision or continued provision of the basic needs to those people that will not be going back. So it's like Malawians have embraced them, and Mozambicans are also happy. Suffice to say that maybe provision of other basic needs will be a challenge. We're looking at the gravity of Malawians, 5.6 million facing acute food shortage, and then pressing hard on the authorities to provide food to the refugees keeps on, you know, being a challenge. So when you look right at all those things, that's where something or people are also raising some eyebrows to say, how are we going to feed our counterparts who still want to stay around here in Malawi?
Right, right. Challenges definitely still remain. But we'll keep tabs on the situation on the ground and see how it goes. George Mango in Blantyre, Malawi, DW correspondent there. And Moses Mukandawire, human rights activist on asylum and refugees, and founder of Nyika Institute, a think tank organization focused on governance and peace. Thanks to the both of you for sharing your time with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
The situation in Mozambique remains volatile and uncertain. In early March, Mozambican police fired on supporters of opposition leader Venancio Mondlane, marching in the capital, Maputo, injuring at least 10 people. There are increasing calls for dialogue and reconciliation to ensure lasting peace. But there are many who are skeptical. So what do you think? Please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.